This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair met to discuss the Mideast crisis, which is in its 17th day. They held a joint press conference to announce their support for a UN ceasefire resolution next week to end the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas. The U.S. and Britain are united in rejecting calls for an immediate ceasefire, which is favored by most European and Arab countries. They also support a multinational force to provide humanitarian aid, which they say is a priority. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will go back to the region tomorrow for a second round of shuttle diplomacy. She is currently in Malaysia attending a regional security conference. In southern Lebanon, Israeli air and artillery attacks continue to strike at Hezbollah sites. Up to 12 people were reportedly killed. Today, Hezbollah said it fired a new long-range missile which hit further south into Israel. At least 6 people were wounded. Another rocket struck a northern Israeli hospital, but no one was injured. In Lebanon, officials say the death toll could be 600. The Israeli civilian and military death toll is 50. In Iraq, the number of U.S. troops could go up to 134,000. Military commanders are coming up with a plan to send an additional 5,000 troops to help control the rising sectarian violence. Yesterday, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld extended by 4 months the tours of duty for some 3,900 troops that were scheduled to leave Iraq. In eastern Afghanistan, the 3 Americans killed in yesterday's civilian helicopter crash have been identified as the wife and 2 daughters of an American contractor. 9 others died in the crash, which officials blame on the weather. On Capitol Hill, in an about-face, Congress has decided to vote on a package that would increase the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 over the next 2 years. However, it will be tied to rolling back estate taxes. Nebraska Supreme Court approved the electric chair as the execution method. It is the only state which uses the chair as its only method of execution. In California, the death toll from the heat wave is now 123 people. The Central Valley was the hardest hit area. Additionally, as many as 25,000 cattle and 7,000 fowl were killed by the high temperatures. In parts of northeast Ohio, up to 9 inches of rain fell, causing rivers to overflow and floodwaters to fill the streets. 100 people had to be evacuated. You're listening to QNN.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department reports that in the second quarter, economic growth slowed to 2.5% rate. Consumers have also cut back on spending, and home building has decreased. Additionally, inflation went up. After a decade-long effort, Walmart announced it will sell off all of its 85 stores in Germany. Rival retailer Metro AG will purchase them, although the terms of the deal were not disclosed. Earlier this year, Walmart also pulled out of the South Korean market. Intel announced it will be slashing prices on older chips and introducing new products to compete with rival AMD. The largest product revamp in 6 years and includes 10 new microprocessors, including the new Core 2 Duo, which requires less power and emits less heat. Microsoft is facing concerns that its new operating system, Vista, will face further delays. A company official says, "We will ship it when it is available." Office Depot, the nation's second largest office supply chain, says its second quarter earnings rose 18% on higher sales and improved margins. Inco, the Canadian nickel mining company, announced it will no longer seek to buy its rival Falcon Bridge. And Chevron is the latest oil company to announce record second quarter profits. Its earnings were $4.35 billion. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.25 a barrel today. And at Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 136 points, the Nasdaq up 35, the S&P 500 up 15. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Welcome once again to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's about 6 minutes past the top of the hour. Rocking forward here, wrapping this thing today. We've had a really fantastic week of programming here on the radio show, and some really wonderful topics. And I just, today is going to be an interesting day because I don't have a tremendous amount of material prepared, but I do want to, turn my attention to you, and let you know, Bob has his, Listener's Choice Friday or something. I'm not sure exactly what he calls it, but anyway, today is going to be your day. Free speech phone lines are wide open. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. Now, it appears that our main website for some reason has crashed. We are working on that right now, frantically scurrying a boot to do something about that. So just stick around. It should be up here in a little while. At headonradionetwork.com. I was going to tell you to go to the chat room, but you're not there because it's not there. such things happen out here on the information superhighway. Every now and then you get a flat. Every now and then you got to pull over to the side of the road and gas back up. Well, I'm thinking that's what happened with the website. It's parked off to the side, getting some maintenance done there. At any rate. I'm trying to figure out here what else is going on. If you want to email me, send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. My website is up. It's hot. It's live. It's smoking. brucebirch.com. B-U-R-C-H. brucebirch.com. You can also, now I don't have a link to the chat room in there, but maybe I will have after today. I'll put up a little separate linky poo. So that you can get to the chat room regardless of whichever site you decide to do it through. Now, as far as the program today, I've got a lot of different stories that don't really have any common thread. We're just going to go through them. We're going to plow through them as if they were bowling pins, and you and I are the bowling ball, okay? And as we do that, of course, your phone calls are welcome. Now, first thing off the top, let's get this one out of the way, mainly because I don't even know why I'm going to report this to you or even tell you about it. You probably have already heard about it from somewhere else, because this is not a gossip column, okay? This is not a gossip column, but I just found it to be because of his politics and his religious proclivities. It kind of blew me away that Mel Gibson was busted for drunk driving overnight. He was pulled over early this morning while driving on the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. I've been there, been on that stretch of highway. Sheriff spokesman Steve Whitmore says that officers on patrol reported that he was driving at an excessively fast speed. There's a bunch of stoplights up through Malibu on the Pacific Coast Highway. And it's very, very close knit kind of place. I mean, you can't really go through there, speeding through there without somebody noticing and going, oh, we don't need that. Let's call somebody. Yeah. Now he was arrested and charged with driving under the influence. Dig that. Mel Gibson busted for drunk driving. Thanks, Mel. You're really showing your principles there, buddy. Anyway, so there's the gossip, the obligatory gossip column. There it is. A couple of things that are happening in Congress. Now, you know, Tony Blair, pardon me, Tony Blair was in the United States today. He and Georgie had a press conference together, and during this press conference, you know, there was a number of questions asked, etc. I'm really having a tough time right now with the ambiguous, somewhat self-serving, undefined method of bringing about peace in the Middle East that George and his cronies are trying to espouse. On the one hand, they don't want to end the violence, because if they end the violence, this is what they're saying. If they end the violence in the Middle East, if they bring about a ceasefire, that will not bring about a ceasefire. Figure that one out for me, would you? Because I'm not hearing what makes anything that makes any sense with that. If you bring about a ceasefire, it won't bring about ceasefire, and that's what Bush is actually saying. Let me run you a really brief clip, and then we'll come back. I'll talk about it for a second. We'll go to a break. This is David Gregory asking. This is the tail end of this at the very beginning. It's the tail end of an answer that Tony Blair is giving to someone, and then David Gregory will come up and ask the question, and the question. Let's see if I can dig the question up. The question is something along the lines of, yeah, because our website's still down. The question is something along the lines of, how in light of the violence in Iraq lately, in light of, you claim that the invasion of Iraq was going to be, here it is. It says, well, let me just, you know what, let me let him ask the question. All right, I'll go ahead and run that clip.
Only on the basis that has been set out.
David Gregory.
Mr. President, both of you, I'd like to ask you about the big picture that you're discussing. Mr. President, 3 years ago, you argued that an invasion of Iraq would create a new stage of Arab-Israeli peace. And yet today, there is an Iraqi prime minister who has been sharply critical of Israel. Arab governments, despite your arguments, who first criticized Hezbollah, have now changed their tune. Now they're sharply critical of Israel. And despite, from both of you, warnings to Syria and Iran to back off support from Hezbollah, effectively, Mr. President, your words are being ignored. Hmm. So what has happened to America's clout in this region that you've committed yourself to transform?
David, it's an interesting period because instead of having foreign policies based upon trying to create a sense of stability, we have a foreign policy that addresses the root causes of violence and instability. For a while, American foreign policy was just hope everything is calm, kind of manage calm. But beneath the surface brewed a lot of resentment and anger that was manifested in its on September the 11th. And so we've taken a foreign policy that says, on the one hand, we will protect ourselves from further attack in the short run by being aggressive and chasing down the killers and bringing them to justice.
So what he's saying there, and what he's trying to tell you, of course he's slurring his speech a little bit, as he normally does. But what he's trying to tell you there is, you know, what you know, we don't want. Okay, here's what he said. Instead of having foreign policies based upon trying to create a sense of stability, we have a foreign policy that addresses the root causes of violence and instability. Let me read that to you again. Instead of having foreign policy based upon trying to create a sense of stability, we have a foreign policy that addresses the root causes of violence and instability. George, if that were actually really true, what you would do is completely redo foreign policy, because that's what's causing the violence and instability. It's pretty simple to me. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program for a Friday afternoon. Glad to have you back with me. I will go to a break right now, and when I come back, we'll talk about this some more. If you want to give me a call, please do so. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Bruce@BruceBirch.com is my email. I'll be right back after this.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm going to head over to the free speech phone lines. If you want to get in on the show today, you can avail yourself of that opportunity by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you into the Head On Radio Network studios in wild, wonderful, wacky West Virginia. All right, our good friend Jim is joining us from an undisclosed location in the upper Moronosphere. Jim, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm still flying blind, Bruce. Won't have computer capabilities until Monday.
Okay. Well, you glad to have you back with me again today. Now, it's pretty much an open topic today, Jim.
Just a few comments first about Mel Gibson. Uh-huh. You know, I guess Mel kind of got into the road warrior a bit on the Pacific Coast Highway, and I can remember having to go out to California, TDY, out to Monterey, and we used to go to a place called Nepenthes.
Okay.
And have driven that highway, and my God, I can't imagine anybody driving that stretch of road drunk, much less, you know, my God, you'd have to be sober as a judge, because that's pretty daunting. It's beautiful scenery, but it's pretty daunting drive.
Well, and up through Malibu right there, it's in between Santa Monica and Malibu, it gets a little bit desolate, but not very much.
Right.
And once you get up into Malibu proper, it's, you know, the houses are right in next to the road, the businesses are right there. I mean, there's, you know.
It's all together.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But, you know, having seen some of his movies, I'm not going to talk about, I didn't see the one he did about the Passion of the Christ, but I saw the one called The Patriot. And, you know, being from South Carolina, where that took place, Bruce, that was the most inaccurate movie I've ever seen in my life. I mean, there was not one shred of his, very, very little, if any, historical.
Even about the Gullah Island and all that?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, they were talking about Tarleton, for example. Tarleton, in the end of the movie, gets killed. Tarleton went on to become a member of Parliament in England. So Mr. Gibson, I'm afraid, takes as much license with his movies as he did last night with his own driving license, you know? I'll tell you.
Are you saying he's a drunk producer too, man?
I don't know. He's just I don't know what's gotten into him, and I'm not really sure. But I mean, you know, he does some stuff that's just as long as he stuck to the road warrior and Gallipoli and stuff like that, where somebody else had the whip hand, it was okay, but, you know, he just takes a little. He needs to read some history books, and as well as his driver's manual for the state of California, that's for sure. And what about Wally World getting knocked out of Deutschland?
I know. I read about that. Yeah, they
you know,
have been removed from Germany.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. they don't mess around over there with people like Wally World. I mean, you know, I think Walmart is just, as far as I'm concerned, it's just like a blight on the American business scene, because you know how they operate. They'll move in three or four of those stores, and then they'll run everybody out of business, kill everything else but them, and then they close two of the stores and leave one left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, if you're going to buy any electronics, for God's sakes, don't buy them in there, because those employees toss those things around like footballs. And, you know, I won't even set foot on the parking lot of one of those places. I despise those things.
I really despise them too. And, you know, what was the saying, Jim, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s? As GM goes, so goes the nation. Wasn't that it?
As what now? I'm sorry.
As GM goes, so goes the nation? Or was
right,
it the General Electric?
I believe so.
Well, I mean, and the idea.
My time, Bruce.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but I mean, you know, but the point of that is that as the economy is judged by the success of that company. Now, what we're seeing though is that now it's a we've turned into a Walmart nation. You know that it's like there are more people who work for Walmart now than are in the entire U.S. Army. Did you know that?
No. But, you know, they're talking about using them as a means of supplying disaster areas, because they've got a much more efficient system. I mean, FEMA's is talking about contracting all the logistics involving a natural disaster out to Walmart. because they have greater, movement capabilities with goods and services than, you know, the federal government. And, you know, are we going to be controlled by Walmart? Is Sam Walton and the Walton boys, are they going to be the next rulers of America? I just wonder. It's just really weird.
I certainly hope not, because those, apparently, from what I understand, the people who are the board, you know, the owners now of Walmart are just greedy.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, Sam Walton may have had some type of dream to have built a chain store, but these guys are just absolutely rapacious. They really are. My God. I mean, and, you know, these people go out there and they say it's so wonderful. And, you know, I don't understand. I don't know where they're used to shopping. Of course, you know, I'm pretty much going to stay at home, and I do all my stuff. I catalog online and stuff like that. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way things turned out. But, you know, you play the hand you're dealt. And, you know, not being able to go to Wally World is certainly no inconvenience to me. It works no hardship on this speaker, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as far as Bush is concerned, I've got something here, and my sainted mother did this for me on a sampler, and I'll just share it with you, okay?
Okay.
You better watch whose toes you step on today, because you don't know whose ass they're connected to that you may have to kiss tomorrow.
Your mom told you that.
She did it in needlepoint.
Oh my goodness, mom's on top of it, Jim.
You want me? Listen, I can do a photo of it. You got a fax number?
Not right here.
But
email it to me.
Well, all right. But I'll tell you something. It is incredible. I mean, you know, it's the truth. I mean, we're walking around Big Cheese today, and we're stepping on a lot of toes. And I think we're going to have to be kissing some people's rear ends that we never thought we were going to have to kiss for too long, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely amazing to watch the neocons. You know, I hate the fact that we are in a situation in the Middle East where we've created a complete chaotic mess. But there is a small bit of satisfaction watching these neocons. You know, they had these grand plans drawn up in the 90s for taking over Iraq, and watching them as their plans crumble because they had they didn't count on reality. They counted on some sort of false reality that exists only in, I don't know,
thereby. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, I think they're pod people. I don't know. It seems like that, you know, these people just don't have any sense of foresight. And, you know, it doesn't take a real, it's not rocket science. It's rocket science stuff to figure out if you continue to mistreat and misuse people, that eventually one day it's going to come back to haunt you, you know? And they're sending,
yes, sir, I do.
And they're sending Miss Toxic Shock Syndrome back over there again this weekend. Hell, when did she come back?
She's been in Asia.
The fact that she has on any peace plans over there would be like Toxic Shock Syndrome. That's her nickname. That's what I call her.
Toxic Shock Syndrome.
Yeah. Instead of Condoleezza, it's just TSS.
Okay.
Nice God, that's the effect she's having on these things over there. They're not going to deal with her.
No, and they're not dealing with her. And actually, but see, I heard something today that somebody on some show, I'm trying to remember, said basically that she was woefully underqualified to deal with this. That she, you know, before all this jumped off, there was actually talk of her being a presidential candidate. Now, it's like it's totally faded from the scene because of her dealing with this. It's been very, not very fruitful at all. But she's following. I mean, again, she's following the lead of the president, and their aim is not to create peace, Jim. Their aim is to manage chaos.
Yeah, and increase the price of somebody's barrel of oil. I mean, I didn't mean to get too wound up around the stick yesterday with all these allusions to the history of Nazi Germany, but yesterday. But what I was trying to say is, you know, all these things have been done, terrible things can be done through legal maneuverings, and lots of people can be hurt through an established legal sort of state apparatus. That was my point there, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And that's the point. I mean, it doesn't have to have any type of revolution in the street or any type of coup d'etat or some type of a junta. I mean, I see this stuff just being gradually, you know, chipping away, and they're just passing all these laws. I mean, for example, they decided, okay, we're going to do the minimum wage thing over a two-year period, right? And what do they hook up onto it? Relief from the estate tax. I mean, you know...
I know, and I was going to cover that in a few minutes. So.
I figured you were, but I thought to myself, you know, what a kick in the rubber part.
Our website is back up.
It is.
Now checking it, and there it is. Yes.
I've heard a heavenly choir singing.
There it is. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is back up and operational.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. These things are wonderful when they work, but when you have a flat on the, I call it the information Autobahn, because people are traveling about the same speed on that thing as they are on the Autobahns overseas.
I know it.
You know what?
Well, the funny thing, what you have is you have some grandma in the left lane on the telephone driving 35 miles an hour with 25,000 people stacked up behind her. You know, that's what
I'll tell you, I've driven those things over there, and I can tell you, you try to do that in the left lane, and the bullet side will pull your butt over there in a heartbeat. And do you know that some of those tickets run as high as $20,000?
$20,000.
That's right.
Speeding
tickets. They're based upon your ability to pay.
Really?
Uh-huh. And to get a driver's license in Germany, you have to pay around $2,000. It is very expensive.
We'll let you drive.
Uh-huh.
We'll let you drive. I said, we'll let you drive, but if you're going to drive and put us at risk by your driving, you're going to pay for it.
And you don't flip people off either. And you don't make any kind of obscene gesture, they will get you for that in a heartbeat. And they've got cameras all over that thing, and they can picture you, and they know exactly what you're doing. I mean, you know, they were started out by Adolf Hitler, of course, and, of course, they weren't used that much for transportation because they didn't have many private cars. Actually, the Luftwaffe used them for runways more than anything else during the war. But now they've come into their own. And it is a place that is not for the faint of heart. I can tell you that
I look forward one day to driving on the Autobahn, or at least riding in a car on the Autobahn. I don't know if I'll be driving on it, but because I'm a breakneck speed. I love to drive fast, man. Love it. Oh yes, I do. I love it.
Well, you love it over there because the minimum speed limit is 80 miles an hour.
Woohoo!
About 110 clicks.
Right on.
I can tell you, when they have some smash-ups, they're pretty spectacular.
So it's kind of driving where if you have a wreck, you're going to go ahead and die. So it's just,
See, they have ghost drivers, too. They have some people actually who want to commit suicide do it on the Autobahn by getting on the wrong lane.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
I'm going to take you and you and you and you with me.
Uh-uh. I've had my days of fast driving. I can't deal with that now. I'll tell you, my nerves wouldn't take it. But it is an experience. And if you have to go to the bathroom, just go sit squat by the road. They don't care.
Well, dang. That's
kind of
nasty.
Huh? Well,
that's kind of nasty.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Germans are pretty practical people. They're pretty hygienic people, too, you know, and one thing about that whole system of roads, it is built so that they're curved and everything is just built right so that you can take these high speeds and do it fairly safely. And, you know, it's just a masterpiece of engineering that makes our interstates look like, you know, nothing. And they're well maintained, too, very well maintained. I mean, they're still using roads that the Germans built before World War II. But against that, like I say, I got off far off. I guess it's Friday. You can say anything. I just thought I would mention that. But those are some interesting highways to drive, and, you know, I'm sure you'll enjoy it when you get there.
Whenever I do, yeah, at some point. Jim, I got to take a break, my friend.
Well, I'm going to be hanging on because the only connection I have is through telephone. Zach said he'll let me do that, which is very kind of him, because I'm, okay, you know, kind of, you know, false computer until Monday, until the flat screen gets here.
Oh, cool. Upgrading, are we?
Yeah, that's what happened. You know, you upgrade one piece and then one peripheral, and then it interacts on the other. So I decided, you know, you may as well go ahead and get it all out of the way, because this type of technology increases at an exponential rate, you know?
It sure does. It doubles. It what they call it, an average year in technology is about 4 months long. So,
that's it.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jim.
Enjoy.
Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you probably Monday. That's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location in the upper Moronosphere. Flying blind. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. Take a break. I'll be right back.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider, someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan open caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, plenty of open space and open time and open lines to avail yourself of that. You can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Now, I was looking at this. Actually, Jim got me stuck on this. Maybe this is where the show is supposed to go today. I don't know.
I just followed the leader is what I was doing. How's that the decider? Pluck him.
Okay, sorry. That was my obligatory George Bush impersonation today. Looking at, went over to Walmart, WalmartWatch.com. Went over there today, just a few minutes ago. Checking out some of the stuff there, and it is amazing to me how Walmart is fighting, is fighting a living wage ordinance in Chicago pretty badly. Okay? And I'm looking over stories. There's a story every day of the week this week. And Walmart is fighting the heck out of it, okay? Because, of course, Walmart is one of those retailers that refuses to pay decent wages. You know? Doesn't want to pay decent wages. Doesn't want to create jobs that are realistic jobs that people can actually live on. It wants to sell everything as low as possible. You know, but the thing is that it's buying stuff from sweatshops in China. Okay, here's the inside secret. It's buying stuff from sweatshops in China. And what it's doing is it's paying its workers about $8 an hour. And meanwhile, the Walton family in Bentonville, Arkansas, is making billions upon billions of dollars. And the new estate tax thingy that they want to push through the Senate right now, well, that was written just for them. In other words, they have so much clout that they can get personal legislation written. Lots of clout, huh? Yes, lots of clout. Almost as much as Terry Schiavo, who is, by the way, brain dead once they did the autopsy and they found out that she was brain dead, even though there was a singular law written to keep her alive, a singular law. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Anyway, so, you know, I was reading that over there. You can go to WalmartWatch.com and check out the campaign that Walmart is heaping upon Chicago. It's repugnant. I'm going to read you something here because I think this is kind of an interesting editorial. Now, this is from the today's New York Times editorial pages. The anti-Walmart movement collided with the growing national debate about minimum wages in Chicago this week. The city council passed an ordinance requiring big retailers to pay higher wages and benefits than other businesses must. Legal challenges are bound to follow, but the council's action should be taken as another sign that while Washington ignores the problem of living wages for workers, the rest of the country is growing very concerned. The editorial goes on. We sympathize with the frustration of local officials, whether in Chicago or Maryland, where state efforts to compel better health benefits from Walmart were recently struck down by a federal judge. While the company's obsession with the bottom line has made it a huge international success, its meager health benefits often leave public hospitals and government programs for the poor paying the bill. And as the giant retailer begins to saturate suburban neighborhoods and turn its attention towards cities, it is important to point out that urban residents cannot survive on the company's traditional low wages. While Chicago is debating how much money working parents need to feed, clothe, and house their children, the congressional majority in Washington has been dodging any vote on a minimum wage increase in favor of slashing taxes for millionaires. That's right. and you know which millionaires those might be. They might be well advised to pay attention to the most recent New York Times CBS poll, which found 85% of respondents, 85% of respondents supported raising the minimum wage to $7.25 an hour from $5.15 an hour. The Chicago ordinance goes further in some ways, but stops short in others. It requires employers to pay $10 an hour by 2010 and spend at least $3 an hour on benefits for their employees. But it applies only to so-called big box stores that are over 90,000 square feet and part of companies with $1 billion in annual sales, including not just Walmart, but other retailers like Home Depot and Target. The editorial continues, laws should not be tailored selectively for individual companies, and most of the working poor will not be helped by simply targeting big retailers. An approach fragmented among many localities is also inefficient and in some instances illegal. The courts will decide that question, but the Chicago ordinance is a powerful expression of public dismay. The lot of the most disadvantaged will only improve if the issue is forced, as it was in the Windy City. I cannot agree more. And why I cannot agree more is because, you know, you'll hear the mantra from the free market aficionados and what they would like for you to believe. What they would like for you to believe is that if you raise the minimum wage, well, that'll cut jobs. Why will it cut jobs? They won't tell you why it'll cut jobs. What they'll tell you is, well, that'll cut jobs. If y'all raise the minimum wage, I'll have to cut jobs. Why? Because he's not willing to take a cut in the profit. He's not willing to lower his own profit in order to be able to supply his workers with a wage that they can live on. He's not willing to give of, you know, to help the people who are helping him make money. Here's an interesting statistic for you. Walmart's chief executive officer, Lee Scott, took home $17.5 million in 2004. That equals about $8,434 an hour. $8,434 an hour. An average Walmart associate earns about $9.68 an hour. The average pay for a Walmart sales associate is about $14,000 a year, which is $1,000 below the poverty line for a family of three. On average, Costco pays its workers 65% more than Walmart and yet earns more profits per employee. So, you know, I mean, it can be done. And Costco, I think, is proving that. Costco is actually proving that. And I'll see if I can't pull up some more statistics on that. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break and come back and wrap up this hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to NAJA.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No, you just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 8 minutes before the top of the hour, and our Quality News Network, I can't remember her name. Anyway, talking about this whole Walmart thing, and actually Jim kind of got me kicked off on this, and, you know, just... Here's one of the things that Walmart has done, or what it does do. In California, Walmart is facing a lawsuit filed on behalf of 100,000 current and former employees who were systematically and illegally denied meal breaks while working for the company. In 2000, Walmart closed its company-wide meat-cutting division after 10 butchers in Texas voted to unionize their shop. 10 butchers in Texas voted to unionize their shop, so Walmart closed the meat-cutting division. Walmart also closed a profitable Canadian store in 2004 after employees chose union representation. Walmart also reportedly paid $50 million to settle a lawsuit that involved 69,000 workers in Colorado who had allegedly been forced to work off the clock. In recent years, Walmart has faced legal actions in over 30 states for overtime violations, forcing people to work off the clock, etc., etc., etc. It's absolutely repugnant, isn't it? It is absolutely repugnant. Talking about their health benefits. Walmart covers 44% of its employees. According to their website, the company provides health care benefits to about 568,000 of their 1.3 million associates in the United States. Based on their own figures, that's only 44% of its workforce. They provide health care options to their employees and families that have a deductible of $1,000. And employees must wait 6 months for full-time employees and 2 years for part-time employees to be able to qualify for benefits. So there you go. There you go. 2005, Alabama, the state of Alabama, paid between $1.7 and $2.4 million to Walmart employees who were on public assistance. In Georgia, there are 10,261 children who are Walmart employees' children who are on the child health thing in Georgia. In West Virginia, let's not do that one. Let's do another one here. Let's say Tennessee, TennCare is the disability is the children and disability care. 9,617 workers are under TennCare. It's amazing to me. You know, and one would think that if you were had a realistic job and was working 40 hours a week, that you should be able to afford health care, right? Wrong. So, and listen to this. Here you go. Here's one. The rhetoric is our health care plans are affordable. Associate premiums begin at less than $40 a month for an individual and $155 a month for family coverage, no matter how large. However, associates must pay $1,000 in medical bills before each year before Walmart coverage begins. And if you go to the emergency room, they tack on an extra $100 to it. According to page 49 of the 2005 Associate Guide, there is a $100 deductible for each emergency room visit. This deductible is in addition to the annual deductible and co-insurance. According to page 49 of the 2005 Associate Guide, there is a $100 deductible per ambulance use. This deductible is in addition to the annual deductible and co-insurance. According to page 30 of the 2005 Associate Guide, if your spouse has access to medical coverage through his or her employer or former employer, other than Walmart, there will be a $50 biweekly pay period surcharge if you elect to cover your spouse under the Walmart plan. So if there is insurance available for your spouse and you cover her under Walmart or him, first of all, you're an idiot for doing that, but if you do, I mean, I'm not going to say that you're a complete idiot, but if you do, guess what can happen? You have to pay an extra $50 out of your check just because there's other insurance available for that person other than Walmart's insurance. That's insane. That is absolute. That should be illegal. Walmart CEO has claimed there are government assistance programs out there that are so lucrative it's hard to be competitive, and it's expensive to be competitive. That's what CEO Lee Scott said about that. Well, you know what? Ugh, this is just making me madder and madder and madder and madder. So we're going to get away from this before I pop a blood vessel off the top of my head. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. We're about to run into the top of the hour and our news. Stick around. We'll be back for some of the topics you want to talk about right here on the Head On Radio Network. Be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair met to discuss the Mideast crisis, which is in its 17th day. They held a joint press conference to announce their support for a UN ceasefire resolution next week to end the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas. The U.S. and Britain are united in rejecting calls for an immediate ceasefire, which is favored by most European and Arab countries. They also support a multinational force to provide humanitarian aid, which they say is a priority. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will go back to the region tomorrow for a second round of shuttle diplomacy. She is currently in Malaysia attending a regional security conference. In southern Lebanon, Israeli air and artillery attacks continue to strike at Hezbollah sites. Up to 12 people were reportedly killed. Today, Hezbollah said it fired a new long-range missile which hit further south into Israel. At least 6 people were wounded. Another rocket struck a northern Israeli hospital, but no one was injured. In Lebanon, officials say the death toll could be 600. The Israeli civilian and military death toll is 50. In Iraq, the number of U.S. troops could go up to 134,000. Military commanders are coming up with a plan to send an additional 5,000 troops to help control the rising sectarian violence. Yesterday, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld extended by 4 months the tours of duty for some 3,900 troops that were scheduled to leave Iraq. In eastern Afghanistan, the 3 Americans killed in yesterday's civilian helicopter crash have been identified as the wife and 2 daughters of an American contractor. 9 others died in the crash, which officials blame on the weather. On Capitol Hill, in an about-face, Congress has decided to vote on a package that would increase the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 over the next 2 years. However, it will be tied to rolling back estate taxes. Nebraska Supreme Court approved the electric chair as the execution method. It is the only state which uses the chair as its only method of execution. In California, the death toll from the heat wave is now 123 people. The Central Valley was the hardest hit area. Additionally, as many as 25,000 cattle and 7,000 fowl were killed by the high temperatures. In parts of northeast Ohio, up to 9 inches of rain fell, causing rivers to overflow and floodwaters to fill the street. 100 people had to be evacuated. You're listening to QNN.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department reports that in the second quarter, economic growth slowed to 2.5% rate. Consumers have also cut back on spending, and home building has decreased. Additionally, inflation went up. After a decade-long effort, Walmart announced it will sell off all of its 85 stores in Germany. Rival retailer Metro AG will purchase them, although the terms of the deal were not disclosed. Earlier this year, Walmart also pulled out of the South Korean market. Intel announced it will be slashing prices on older chips and introducing new products to compete with rival AMD. It's the largest product revamp in 6 years and includes 10 new microprocessors, including the new Core 2 Duo, which requires less power and emits less heat. Microsoft is facing concerns that its new operating system, Vista, will face further delays. A company official says, "We will ship it when it is available." Office Depot, the nation's second largest office supply chain, says its second quarter earnings rose 18% on higher sales and improved margins. Inco, the Canadian nickel mining company, announced it will no longer seek to buy its rival Falcon Bridge. And Chevron is the latest oil company to announce record second quarter profits. Its earnings were $4.35 billion. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.25 a barrel today. And at Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 136 points, the Nasdaq up 35, the S&P 500 up 15. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the second hour of the Bruce Birch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network. Wanted to give you a quick rundown again. Our chat room is back up and rocking and rolling. If you can go to headonradionetwork.com and you can log into the chat room by clicking on the links there on the left side of the page. And there's several people in there hanging out. So please do check that out. You can also email me if you're interested in sending me email, bruce@brucebirch.com. All right, we were talking a little bit earlier about some of this Walmart stuff, and I just got to tell you, I almost forgot that in order to give them the proper, honor, that's it, honor, the proper honor, we have to throw them the whistle. There's the dumbass whistle. That's for Walmart. One more time for Walmart. What do you think? There you go. Okay. Let's move over to the free speech phone lines. My good friend David from Maine is joining us. David, how are you doing today?
Good evening, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good.
I'm doing okay.
I have one question about the stream that you're running. What would be causing something for it to automatically shut off? That's what I'm getting all of a sudden. And it's probably just my stream or something. I don't know, but.
Well, not to get too technical on here, but sometimes what can happen is if there is a break somehow in the packets that you're getting on the internet, it'll like a small pause.
Right.
For instance, something in the way, it can happen. I mean, it happens with me sometimes. So.
Hmm.
I'm sorry you're having difficulty.
No, that's all right. I'll figure out a way. Maybe I just need to finally upgrade the real player.
Maybe.
Maybe. So you had the whistle blowers. You had the whistle sound effect, and it's funny because I was just listening to on the radio an hour of Sybil Edmonds.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
And basically, I think. We should tell the listeners that on C-SPAN at 8 o'clock tomorrow is 9/11, the Neocon Agenda Special.
Really?
So I think everybody should check that out so we can have something to discuss Monday.
Okay. This is on C-SPAN tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Right.
And the title of the program is what again?
9/11, the Neocon Agenda, something like that. Basically, it's a discussion on why there are still 35 pages that are unavailable to the public on the events of 9/11.
Okay.
And since that is going to be the topic tomorrow, I'd like to talk about like some of the things that never made sense to me, even though people have just like battered this into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's still once in a while good to bring it up. And one of the things. And one of the things I heard last night was interesting, was they had a guy who was a B-3 bomber jet on the radio. He was a fueler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he said that, what do you know what happens when a fueling jet crashes? And the host was like, no. He goes, you get miles and miles of wreckage. And he goes, jet fuel just doesn't disintegrate. Because he said, I don't understand how people can come with that conclusion who know nothing about jet fuel. And it dawned on me, I was like, fueling jets? If we look at some photos of what fueling jets, the kind of wreckage, this should just dismiss every single claim about jet fuel. What happened on Flight 93? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah.
It is absolutely this is how I put it.
Yeah.
And maybe I've been a little bit politically safe by saying this.
Yeah.
Because I have a number of friends who absolutely think that it's just hogwash what they fed us. What I say is that there's enough holes in the story to drive trucks through, and there's enough questions that it warrants a complete reopening of the situation and with a realistic panel of people to actually really look at it and find out exactly what happened.
Right, and you know another thing that a lot of people need to keep in mind with, especially the truth movement, is when you put the theories out without being critical thinking and just saying, this is what happened to the plane. Don't put your theory together of who was involved with the government and everything if you don't know, if these aren't facts. Because what it's doing, it's basically just doing what the Republicans were doing when Vince Foster was killed or when he committed suicide.
Okay.
It's the same exact thing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think a bigger problem with this whole thing is trying to get people back on stage of just critically thinking and just not going off the tracks, just saying, this is what we know. I mean, those theories and everything, that is circumstantial, and it's abstract, and it's all of that, and it leads us nowhere. It's a nice way to connect the dots, but you're not going to get the whole, you're not going to get the picture like you have those books. Oh, it's a clown. You know?
It is absolutely. Yes, it is.
Yes. What we have to do, especially with an event like this, is to go back and say, okay, planes crashed, but where is the plane? And when someone asks, what are you getting at? It was 5 years ago. Just say, I'm just asking, what happened to the plane? And why is it that people keep summing up jet fuel? They sum up jet fuel on everything. This is another thing, Bruce, that really gets me. They sum up jet fuel on the World Trade Center. They summed up jet fuel on the Pentagon. They summed up jet fuel on Flight 93. So jet fuel's the culprit? How do you know? And you know what happens when you ask that? When you ask, how do you know? You know what the answer is? Well, this I heard it from so-and-so.
And therefore it must be true.
Right, instant experts. This is a problem in our country, too. Instant experts. Just instantly they just call up, or instantly they just say to you, well, you know, jet fuel burns at this temperature. Like, how do you know? Are you an expert? Are you in aviation? And they'll say no. And you know, this is hard to keep people focusing on critical thinking, because we've lost that element. This is something to think about. What do you think would have happened if 9/11 happened back in the 60s? Just think about that for a second, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question.
You know what would have happened? More people would have been critically thinking. The pundits and everybody, but we've been so numbed by everything, by our media in general, the complacency of media. What happens is when something happens in 2001, this is the impact it has on us. We say, well, that was a tragedy, and that happened. And all those people taking all of the evidence away off the crime scene, well, we know who did it, so let's just call it a day and forget about the victims and the tragedy. And let's not really spend any money on it either. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, it is absolutely it's something we need to absolutely take another in-depth look at, but I don't think we should look at that to the detriment of the reality of the other things that are going on around us. I mean, I think there was a pro. You know, we don't, you know, this is the one thing that sort of legitimized the Bush administration, whether or not we want to call them legitimate or not. This
right.
is this is the one act that sort of rallied the country around the flag, even though it looked at him as if, you know, as it, well, which he was, an illegitimate president. And so, you know, I mean, he had everything to gain and nothing to lose through this situation. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm not going to go and posit theories at this point. I mean, I've read a lot of the stuff. I've looked
right.
at a lot of the stuff. I've watched Loose Change. You know,
right.
It's enough to open my eyes to say, okay, there are enough questions that this really does warrant a rehashing, a relook, you know, a different with a different set of eyes.
Right.
You know, and not, I mean, you know.
I think the bigger message in it is that we need to keep state secret privileges and everything. We need to keep that capped. We can't have that go out of control where people are redacting everything like crazy. And I think that's why it's important to have, like, whistleblowers like Sybil Edmonds on C-SPAN still going at it, even though she may be facing the attack dogs. That is vital for a democracy to survive and for this country to survive. Otherwise, we're just going to go on life support like Terry Schiavo and go into a sludge-induced coma.
Well, I agree. I think that here in this nation, in any democracy,
right.
there has to be transparency, and that transparency has to be a voluntary transparency. It can't be something, well, we mandate that you know. I mean, yeah, that's what happened with the Freedom of Information Act. There was a mandated transparency because, you know, Richard Nixon for years. With his spying and his own domestic surveillance.
I mean, look how they're framing things with the war on terror. You can't question anything, otherwise you support the terrorists. Everyone who is against.
But what, you don't support the terrorists, David?
I know. You know, somebody brought up an interesting point. They said you don't hear the word rebel on the news anymore. If you think about it, Bruce, think about it. You don't hear the word rebels anymore.
No, you sure don't. You're right.
It's all terrorists, all the time. It's the terrorist Fox Network.
I'm going to tell you something. You know what I define as a terrorist is someone who uses fear to manipulate. Okay?
That's a great definition.
And I'm sorry, but, you know, the folks over at Fox... They pretty much live on fear. That's the way they get ratings, fear. Should we call them terrorists too? Hang on. I've got a whistle for them. One more dumbass whistle for Fox News. I mean, when we say the words, we have to say that we have to use the whistle. Dave, I'm going to take a quick break. Can you hang on?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, and then we'll be back with our good friend David from Maine. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. Or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we don't advocate bombing anybody. Let's just not bomb anybody. I'm not interested in bombing. I'm not interested in munitions. I'm interested in admonitions. Speaking of admonitions, our good friend David is back with us. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
did you notice that? The little speaking of admonitions thing.
Yes. Just a brief celebrity notice, because I know people like their pop culture news. Mel Gibson got arrested for a DUI. So
he certainly did. Yeah, I talked about that right at the very front of the radio program. I was like, you know, this is not a gossip column. We're not going to go there today. But Mel Gibson got busted for drunk driving, and then Jim called and we talked about it. Now you're talking about it. What is this?
But you know,
is this entertainment tonight now? What do we do?
Yeah, but you know, I'm just saying this. I'm just going to say this. It makes sense when he was promoting on the movie campaign for Passion of the Christ. It all makes sense now.
It does?
Yes, it does. He was drunk.
Oh, he was drunk the whole time.
He was drunk the whole time while he's talking about Jesus.
That explains the erratic behavior and the maybe it was maybe it was one of the, some of that sacrament wine or whatever they use, and maybe he was sucking on the wafer.
It explains a lot, and I think it was more than alcohol, but enough about Mel Gibson.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And for Mel, we have to give Mel a whistle too.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, there's Mel's whistle. this is becoming this is denigrating into a whistle-licious show, isn't it?
Right. And so the other thing I wanted to talk about was Robert Baer was on Alan Combs for a half hour last night on the radio show.
Robert Baer.
Baer, the guy who the movie was inspired by, Syriana.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, okay.
And the thing that struck me about Baer is here's a really intelligent guy, but he's so afraid of foreign powers. You can hear it in his voice. But he sounds like, see, this is what really kind of jolts me. Here's a guy that I look up to. I'm kind of just inspired by his life and his writings. But when he comes on the air and he talks about Iran and he says, well, we got to do something about Iran, and he's just basically banging the war drum for Iran. But at the same time, he's saying, "But I'm not for invading or attacking Iran." So I'm like, "Why are you saying this at this point? It's just too convenient." Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't understand why someone like someone intelligent like Baer, a CIA agent. And he doesn't understand that even if he's a CIA agent and he thinks that he knows everything, he's going on hearsay, basically, about what Iran was involved with. If you get an intelligence report, that doesn't mean it's fact. And yet, people think, ultimately, when it comes down the line, people are like, oh, the CIA said this, the FBI said this, that's fact, that's the end of it, let's put it on the bulletin board for everybody to know. And I believe what happens, Bruce, is this creates the snowball effect, and we're led to believe about Iran and all of this. None of us have really talked to any of the mullahs. We don't really know what they're really like and why they're angry, and why they want to destroy America. But you know, it might have something to do with the U.S. calling them the Great Satan and demonizing them before they even get a chance to really respond.
We live in times that defy good sense, David.
I was jolted by what I heard Mr. Baer say, because he doesn't even realize that he's taking a far-right position. He was arguing. See, the thing what he was doing was he was kind of playing. He was kind of like a CIA Dick Morris, kind of. And what I mean was he was like on the balance beam, and he's like, well, I don't really like the Democrats or the Republicans' position, but I do think we needed to do something about Iran. I mean, that's what Dick Morris basically did. He made a career out of it, you know? So I was
other things.
Right.
Yeah, right. I wasn't going to say it, but since you did, hey, you know, it's before 9 o'clock.
Well, you can say it. Do you have an FCC noise too? You need to get one. Every time someone says something sort of suggestive, because I'm sure you know the FCC is just increasing more fines by the minute for absurd words that don't even make sense why they're censoring them.
They should censor the word kerfluffle. But anyway, you're about to make a point.
Kerfluffle. My point is this: is that why is it that we, as a nation, as a country, we suddenly we think just because we have some status or a status symbol, or just because we hear something, or just because we're part of an agency or a group, or elitism, and we're part of the government, that all of a sudden we know who the great threat is in the world. I don't think any of us know who the great threat in the world is.
I think we do. We're just not willing to admit it. And you know who the great threat is?
Us?
Yeah.
Human beings.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, I guess
we are the. It sure seems like we are the only species on the. What in the world? Are you still there, David?
Yeah, I think that's because of the rainstorm or whatever, and the UFOs are buzzing around outside or something.
Okay. Well, yeah. Tell those guys to stop that. Stop that right now.
Could be because of thunderstorms, too.
Well, what I was going to say, oh, gosh, if I can remember my point now. what I was going to say is just that, you know, I completely missed it. I completely lost my point, David.
You completely lost your point?
All that noise just got in my head, and it brainwashed me. Maybe that's like an Agent Fred thing.
It's the NSA disruptor, the neural disruptor.
Yes. It's a neuro-linguistics disruptor.
But I think basically what you're saying was you were getting at that we are the greatest threat of them all.
Yes, yes. Well, I think we're the only species on the planet that could actually that could actually wipe itself out completely. You know, with a few buttons.
But it seems like we're in hearsay culture right now, where if someone says, you know what, so it's like a whispering campaign. You know who's a threat? That Bajami the Dami guy. I mean, he's the biggest threat. Do you know what he did? He made a Quran out of blood. Oh my God. And he's tied to Hezbollah. I know that because I looked at his license plate. That's where it seems like we're getting with for evidence, Bruce. And it's just so frustrating. You're like, ah.
Any nation that claims Ann Coulter as a citizen cannot stand the test of time. I'm sorry.
Speaking of Ann Coulter, did you hear what she said on Hardball?
Yeah. Was it Al Gore is gay or something? Or
and Al Gore is a fag.
Yeah.
That's a soundbite for ages. Just play that soundbite over and over. Al Gore is a fag. Al Gore is a fag.
Yeah. Well, you know, she has her moments, and you know, excuse me. With her, it's all about selling books, and you know, however she can do that, it's just more money for her to make.
Can you imagine?
I really that's the first time I think I might have ever mentioned her name on this show. I don't want to say I hate her.
Well, I'm
I
sorry
really
to bring
despise.
That, but my point was saying this. Can you imagine Al Franken saying Lynn Cheney is a fag?
Yeah, actually.
Without getting attacked? without getting it brutally attacked?
I know that's not the answer you were looking for. But
I know. Without getting brutally attacked, that's my point.
No, he couldn't say it without Rush Limbaugh tearing into him and calling him one of those left-wing Hollywood liberal types. So, Dave, got to take a break, David. And
But
you know what? Thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for being a part of the program today.
Oh, no problem. I'm gonna keep at it.
You do that.
All right,
just keep up on those right wingers for me.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Later.
Great to hear from you. Okay. I'm doing great because it is Friday evening, and you're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio program on the Head On Radio Network. After this break, I'll be right back.
Did you try to read your writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again. Day by day.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Did you catch Maliki's speech to Congress? The Iraqi Prime Minister, speaking through an interpreter, sounded just like the White House Communications Office. I didn't know anyone over there knew Arabic. Time and time again, he parroted Bush's lines and used Bush's tropes. Like Bush often does, Maliki made early reference to 9/11. Like Bush, Maliki made extravagant claims about the importance of winning the war in Iraq, saying that Iraq is the front line in the war against terror. Does that sound familiar? And like Bush, Maliki stressed the speed of change in Iraq. In a short space of time, he said, Iraq has gone from a dictatorship to a transitional administration and now to a fully fledged democracy. That's Bush boilerplate. One giant clue that the White House had its hand in the speechwriting was Maliki's amazing invitation to foreign companies to take over his country's economy. We will be presenting to Parliament legislation which will lift current restrictions on foreign companies and investors who wish to come to Iraq, he said. Of course, that one got applause in Congress, but I doubt the people of Iraq are dying to give their country over to ExxonMobil. Well, actually, I guess they are. Last, but perhaps most telling of all, Maliki gave a one-word timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Eventually. That doesn't cut it. Not after 2,558 U.S. soldiers killed over there. Not after 19,000 U.S. soldiers wounded. Eventually is much too long a time to wait. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Yes, that's right. We're getting cranked up for the weekend, and just to in honor of all you folks who are getting off work all around the country, here we go. Wrap it up, folks. It's time to start your weekend, right?
Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up.
All right, get you a little woken up there. I was just talking with David though. It's he's such a great guy. He really is a barrel of monkeys, as it were. And it looks like our friend Jim wants to come back on the air and say something again or talk about something. I don't know. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, and what am I a barrel of? You better watch yourself or I'll slap you silly.
Dachshunds, Jim. Dachshunds.
Dachshunds? I don't even like dachshunds.
Oh, no, no. See, you can't win. It's like, do I look fat in this dress? You know,
I don't
how
know,
do you answer
Jim,
that?
I don't know. I think Chanel would be more your style.
Well, you're right, actually. but we won't say that on air.
Yeah, just something real simple, elegant. No, what I wanted to say earlier, and I forgot to say it, was about another corporation that has incurred my ire, and that is Bechtel. You know, they're company doing the big dig up in Boston. And, of course, you know, the roof of that place collapsed and killed some people. And, of course, the repairs are being absorbed by guess who? The American taxpayer. Bechtel is not having to absorb any of those costs whatsoever. They're also building a children's hospital in Iraq that has gone into terrific cost overruns. And guess who's having to absorb that?
Let me guess. Hold on. Don't tell me. The American taxpayer?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll let you by this time. You're right. Absolutely.
Yes!
And, you know, truly, if the Pentagon, if you take, compare the Pentagon and you compare a modern corporation, how long do you think that Rumsfeld would last as the CEO of a modern corporation in this country? I mean, they would have gotten rid of his sorry ass 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. As a matter of fact, they did. They made him president. I'm sorry. Bad.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know who writes, well, I know who writes his performance appraisal. I would love to see that if one's even written on that man. But, I mean, you know, these corporations, good Lord. I mean, with Bechtel, for example, in Boston, I mean, this thing is going into tremendous cost overrides, and they don't know when it's going to be completed. They really don't. I mean, they have just bolts have not been securely anchored to ceiling to ceiling struts and things of that nature. And, you know, God only knows what that hospital in Iraq is going to look like when they finish with it, when the first storm blows up against it, windstorm or sandstorm, it'll probably just fall over.
Yep, and then they'll be left holding the bag.
There's insurance imposed on these contractors, and that's one thing that really bothers me. Because I used to deal with some of these contractors when I worked for the feds, and you know, honest to God, they get away with absolute murder, and it's always at the expense of the American taxpayer. And when you think of that money and how it's pissed away, and the good it could be doing for so many people, it really gets my hackles up.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think when I was broadcasting live from the Take Back America conference a few weeks ago, actually the first day or second day I was on the air with this incantation, this program, I had a gentleman on from the National Priorities Project. You can go to nationalprioritiesproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
And what he told me, I think, was that there's three jets that are being phased out. They're not even using them, but they're still buying them.
No, they're not.
And these three jets that cost $300 million apiece now, they're not even using these jets, but they're still building them and buying them. Guess how much money the Bush administration spent on homelessness in the United States last year?
$1 or $2.
$1 billion. So basically, three of these jets, plus maybe a couple of wings, was equal to the entire budget for spending on homelessness programs in the United States last year.
Well, I think that shows you where their priorities and sympathies are. They certainly aren't with people that need a hand and people who fall through the cracks of society.
Yeah. Here's what I would like to lay on George if given the chance. What do you think about that, Jim?
Would you like to hear mine?
Sure.
No, I don't think so.
What, man? What?
Well, I'm not in my living room. I am in my bedroom, which I call the Hall of Mental Cultivation. The living room is the Hall of Supreme Harmony. And I have a five speaker stereo system in there, and I have that CD that I told you about.
The Pull My Fingers thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's...
Whomp!
And, oh, it's worse than that. This is Lord Foghole.
Whomp!
You know, I mean, you have a whole bunch of little toys, little sound effects things. Where do you get these? Is there like a joke shop where you can get these things?
Yeah. That's what it is.
Listen,
oh my goodness.
Before we leave, I'll tell you another story about my mother since we were talking about her little sampler.
Since we're talking about whips, you want to bring up your mom again. What's up now? I'm not going to, you know. Okay, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
No, it's real funny. When I was a kid, she told me that, you know, if you suck your thumb, you're going to blow up and burst. And so,
really?
You know, I was like five.
Did you?
You know, she said, if you do that, you just swell up and you'll burst. Well, she had a bridge party, and so one of her friends came to the party who was just heavily pregnant. And the first thing I did as a kid, I pointed my finger and put my finger at her, and it was my hand over the other mouth, said, I know what you've been doing. And let me say, that bridge party sort of broke up there.
Oh, yeah?
It sure did. I was reminded that today. But I thought, you know.
All right. And later on, monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Well, Bruce, listen.
It's Friday, man.
I'm taking up enough of your time. And speaking of jet fuel or JP4, I think I'm going to crack open a bottle of, well, let's see here. What is, there's so many.
Johnny Walker tonight?
A little time.
Is Johnny Walker coming over tonight? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, Johnny will be over here. Now, I think I'll have a glass of Campari and soda, which is
well. Toast to the end of our civilization, Jim, because we may be.
I don't want to do that now. No. But I hope not.
No. Okay.
But listen, I hope you have a good weekend, and maybe I'll talk to you and your friend, your co-host, Mr. Fox, tomorrow night. Who knows if y'all are going to be on the air.
All right, Jim. I do appreciate it, my friend.
All right. You have
talk
a good evening.
Soon. Okay.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.
We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. This is the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
A mí no me ocurrirá.
私には起きないわ。
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. We're winding the show down, wrapping it up at warp speed. Good to have you back, and you know, we kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start today just because our site was down, etc. But we're up and going, and Bob is Bob's in the on deck circle swinging the bat. He's got about 4 or 5 weights down there on the end of it, swinging the heck out of that sucker. So, you know, he'll be up next. Bob Kincaid, Head On with Bob Kincaid, will be up next. Now, last week at this time, I mentioned to you that Fourth Estate Radio was going to be on, and it wasn't. There was a couple of reasons for that, not the least of which is the fact that we had some severe computer troubles, and then I was traveling that day and got caught in a nasty, nasty, nasty thunderstorm that actually was probably more like a large tornado. It was just really, it was wrath of God kind of stuff. I couldn't go anywhere, so I was stuck. And so anyway, the show was canceled last Saturday, but we are planning on doing it again tomorrow night. If the gods smile on us, more than likely we'll be on tomorrow night, and you know, all we can do is... pray hopefully the gods will be nice to us, you know. Hopefully the gods will be nice to us. But at any rate, today's show is really a hit and miss, kind of jumping around, kind of hopping all over the place kind of thing, as it is on Friday. It's very unscripted, open, wide open, chaotic radio, schizophrenic perhaps even, I don't know. But we had a lot of different topics that came to the floor today. Now, remember tomorrow on C-SPAN at 8 o'clock, a show called September 11th Terrorist Attacks, which is a roundtable discussion featuring Alex Jones, James Fetzer, Robert M. Bowman, Stephen Jones, and Webster Griffin Tarpley. Is going to be on C-SPAN at 8 o'clock, and the panelists are discussing theories on alleged conspiracies regarding the origins of the attacks on September the 11th, 2001. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on C-SPAN. If you want to watch that, That's where it will be. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, C-SPAN, September the 11th, terrorist attacks. I imagine that Monday there will be some discussion on this program. I I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to watch it, whether I'm going to be on the road at that time. I'm also traveling this weekend some. So that would be 8 p.m., if anyone's asking. That would be 8 p.m. Eastern. I don't know if there's a delay to the West Coast or not. Okay? Now, also, we'll be back Monday, and of course, Monday is everyone's favorite day of the week here on the Head On Radio Network, including the most favorite day of the week for Mr. Kincaid. So, we'll be back at that point. I'm going to go ahead today and run our credits and let David Rovix warm you up for the rantalicious Bob Kincaid radio programming. I'd like to thank you, Zach Rebich, for being such a fantastic producer. You did a great job this week and a great job today, and look forward to working with you. many, many moons. I will see you Sunday. I also want to thank our good friend Ben Birch from the White Rose Society for archiving and managing the streams of all the radio programming on the Head On Radio Network. Also would like to thank my good friend John Fox, my co-host on Fourth Estate Radio, for being the announcer of this radio program and for also being the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. I'd like to thank our good friends Bob and Agnes Kincaid for being the glue that holds all this together. Our good friend Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services for managing the bits and bytes that traverse the internet to get to you so you can hear this thing. I also want to thank the West Virginia District Council Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American Dream, and by supporting the programming here, they're helping us to rebuild the American Dream. Last but not least, I'd like to thank all of you listeners for joining me again this wonderful Friday afternoon for a bit of radio chaos and helping to bring some opening ideas to all of our homes. And don't forget, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. See you tomorrow night for Fourth Estate Radio and Monday for this radio program. This has been Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
Shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers